how we enter into those yonas. It isn't an easy task to perform. Rosh Hashanah, and we're all ready for it. We have to ask ourselves, is this really so? Are we really ready for Rosh Hashanah? Do we realize what it means to enter into a Yom HaDin, a judgment day, before a judge who can't be bribed and can't be fooled? Are we aware of what this means? And the awareness can only be if we judge ourselves in the light of what has been our manner of living during the year. And I want to point out at the very outset, as I did last night in the yeshiva, that when I speak, I don't mean to speak to you. I speak to myself. And as that the great Magid, the Dugna Magid, once said, but you shouldn't mind if I speak to myself out loud, and you also will hear what I have to say to myself. That's the question. Are we ready for the Yomim HaMerodim? How have we acted in our mitzvahs, in our Maisim Tovim, in our Torah study through the year? How have we acted through the month of Elul? That month when we start blowing the shofar as a reminder that it's soon going to be here, this Yom HaDin. Hayitok HaShofar v'yiyah v'om lo yechrodu. Is it possible that shofar is blown and people are not overtaken with fear? But it is possible. Meblos talatok shofar. I don't notice on myself any fear. I don't see any difference between Elul and Menachem Hov. And I think that it's the same with all my fellow Jews. Blow shofar, Zaminik Yisroel, when Elul comes around, you got to blow that shofar. Don't forget to prepare the shofar. So the Shamus of the Pesach Nefesh has to prepare a shofar. Elul. You blow it every day. No one seems to show any fear whatsoever. I haven't seen anyone, certainly not myself, shivering and shuddering in fear. I haven't seen it. And yet this is what is asked of us. That's the purpose of shofar. I'm blowing. The mitzvahs that we perform in Elul. How much of ourselves have gone into the performance of these mitzvahs? How much have we put into the mitzvahs? Or, again, part of a lifestyle. Got to perform it. Part of a lifestyle to daven three times a day. So, the daven talk. When the daven talk, that's not tefillah. That isn't tefillah. And I feel many times with myself that learning is also a lifestyle. Because we are unconscious of what Torah learning signifies. Long, long ago, Chazal said, "Mitneimah ein bneim shel talmidei chachomim, mitzuyin li yesh talmidei chachomim." Why is it that we don't find that the children of Talmid HaChomim always become Talmid HaChomim. Why not? Such a background, why not? And Chazal answer most interestingly, Mipnei she'ein mevorchin al ha-Torah tefillah. They don't make birchas ha-Torah. Is that possible? They don't daven every morning, these Talmid HaChomim. To the sinner, what do you mean they don't say birchas ha-Torah every morning? So the Rishonim points out that it means they don't appreciate what the brachas signifies. The Torah is not what I understand. Torah is the intellect that Hashem is for us. He gave us His Torah, and therefore we must delve into it and appreciate the fact that all that we understand, Torah itself is far above our limits of understanding. And when we understand that, so we begin to toil in Torah, and we begin to feel Amal HaTorah. And I ask myself many times, do Frechvazi? See the Stako Omo? Do you feel that this is toil? It's without a feeling and a recognition that it is of Hashem Yisborah, and that through this we come close unto Him. And every mitzvah the same way. A mitzvah, a commandment of Hashem Yisborah, is an act whereby we create that closeness, that attachment with Hashem Yisborah. But do we feel it? When we make the broche, Vayerei Priyoei, Hamoitzi Leche Min Ho'oretz, do we then stand and feel and appreciate that without Hashem Yisborah there exists nothing? If I have lechem to eat, it's He who has given it to me. If I enjoy the fruits of the land, it's He who has given it to me. And this is what I'm now saying when I make the broche. Oder es macht ha broche. Ha prumeri. Es macht broche. So just as you're accustomed to eating three times a day, that's part of eating. Machen de broche is macht ha broche. Not I declare this broche. I perform this act. It's being performed as a matter of rote. This is contrary to what Jewish life represents. And Elul is that month when we have to begin giving thought to this. If we don't, so the Rosh Hashanah is also merely a matter of rote. It's on the calendar that Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. So instead of taking the siddur, you take a mazel. Unes davenses. Unes herzes shefer. And the whole business is a matter of rote. This is Yomim Neroim. This is Elul. This is Jewish life. How is this possible? And if for no other reason we have to get together and discuss among ourselves how far we are remiss in this business of a matter of rote. That Torah and mitzvahs cannot and dare not be a matter of rote. We then deny ourselves the entire value of Jewish living, of Torah Jewish living. That great authority on Shuvah, on the act of repentance, Rabbeinu Yehine says, V'ne'amah al ho'anoshim שאינם הולכים מחשובס להסבוינים תמיד בירת השם. Those of us who do not at all times engage in thoughts leading to seeking an understanding of Yirat Hashem, not to take it as a matter of fact, but Olchim Achshoves Lehizboinein, to delve into it, to try to understand Bino. What does the Novi, what does the prophet say of these people? Vatehi Yiroisom Oisi, their fear, their reverence in which they hold me, says Hashem Yisborach, mitzvas anoshim milumodo, is merely a matter of rote. They have accustomed themselves to this lifestyle of Torah and mitzvahs without feeling what lies therein. Lochein, says the prophet, in the name of Hashem, Hineni yoisif lehafli eso omaze haflevo felet. I shall continue to strike my people with Rachmoninitlan suffering beyond understanding. If you want to perform and act like a Jew, a Torah Jew, it has to be a result of understanding, of engaging in a quest. What lies behind the act of mitzvah? What is it to lead me to? And if you do it merely as a matter of rote, ergo mitzvah anoshim elumodo, so you'll have to be awakened from your slumber. And Rachmon al-Islam, sometimes it's necessary for such awakenings of half levavelet before this slumbering Jew will arrive at an understanding of what is asked of him, of what is indeed Torah and what is mitzvah. And he goes on to quote another posuk. This first posuk was from the prophet Yeshayah. Another posuk from Yirmiyah. Madua derech Rishoim Tzolecho. Why do Rishoim seemingly succeed? How is it possible? Koroi vato b'fihem. You are close to them in their mouths. V'rochoik mikil yiseyem. But very, very far removed from their thoughts. And the prophet speaks to us. We are the ones that he's speaking to. He's not speaking to reformed Jews. He's not speaking to conservative Jews. He's speaking to Torah Jews. And he is telling them, your acts, your deeds, minasofa lechutz, befihem, they mouth brachas. And the same is with all mitzvahs that they have to perform. But the rock of mitzvah is saying, you're far removed from their world of thought. They're bothered with other thoughts. They're engaged with other matters. They have other interests. One of the interests is to perform what they call mitzvahs. And we're talking about ourselves here. And when you enter into a Rosh Hashanah, we have to become cognizant of this. For chas v'sholem, even the Yom HaDin will stand in the same place. So what purpose is there to all of this? What is the meaning of a Yom HaDin? How in the world can I bring myself to understand that there is such a thing as a judgment day if I live as a matter of rote? So Rosh Hashanah is also part of that custom of living. So where is the judgment going to be?
And Rabbi Niyena points out in another place in this great work, Sadi Tshuva, suppose someone is scheduled to appear in court for a court case. He overlooks all other interests. He's always gathered together with his lawyers. How is he going to fight out his case? He can't sleep, he can't eat. Do we act the same way, Rabbi Niyena says, in reference to Yom HaDin, before that judge who cannot be bought, who cannot be changed in his opinion? Do we note upon ourselves that nothing means anything to us? We're busy now with this case coming up. I think we all know the answer. So before we talk about the Yomim HaNoroim, what is contained in these Yomim, we have a lot more to think about prior to the Yomim HaNoroim. Are we prepared for the Yomim HaNoroim? Are we ready for such days? And there's still time. There are a few days left. Yemei Aslichus, to be able to give thought. And then there are Aseres Yemei Tshuva before Yom HaKippurim. There's time to think. But we must think. We've got to accustom ourselves to use our intellect, our minds. Mitzvahs are not to be merely a matter of an act of hand and feet, an act of mouth, acts of thought, the result of understanding. This is Jewish life, this is Torah Jewish life. And this is what Yom HaNoroim come to remind us about, if we are conscious of the fact that they're nearly here. So let's give ourselves a few moments to think along these lines. And perhaps we'll arouse ourselves from this slumber in which we always find ourselves. Chazal once said, "In Gehenem Elo Yoyim." An interesting comment. Gehenna, the world of punishment, divine punishment, divine retribution. That's day. Very interesting comment. Cheshech idom Gehenna. Night! Day. It's a posuk. Shenema. And you can't argue on a posuk. Hine yoim bo boer katanur. The prophet says, "For behold, there comes a day that will burn as the oven burns." The day will burn. Ein gehenem elo yoim. So what do they mean to teach us? They mean to teach us that the greatest fire in the soul of a human being is when he comes face to face with the clarity of understanding, and when all doubts are removed. During our lifetimes, we go remiss, we follow the dictates of our human desires without giving thought to what it will lead. But when that day comes, when we see with the greatest of clarity what indeed it does mean, one needs no greater fire. That burns. We can't then fool ourselves. And when Chazal taught us this, they meant to tell us, don't wait, Chas V'Sholem, for the day and the light of Gehenna. Create light for yourselves. See the light of truth. Understand the light of Torah. Let your living in Torah be governed by a deep understanding, so that it be not a matter of rote, but rather every time you do anything, not merely an act of mitzvah of the Tariag mitzvahs, any act of the Jew is controlled by the desire, or should be controlled by the desire, to fulfill the Tzein Shamayim, to fulfill the will of God. For instance, what in the world is so holy about eating? Yes, it is holy. When one consumes food to satisfy his human lust, it's nothing. We know what happens to that food. But when one consumes food in order to have the strength to act according to the will and desire of Hashem Yisborach, so that act of food consumption becomes in itself mitzvah Hashem, and one is mitzvah in Shemayim through this simple human, mundane, earthly act. That's a Jew. That's Torah. Torah is not merely learning something that has nothing to do with life in this world. Torah gives us a concept of what is this world in which we live. What are the mundane things in which we are engaged? And it lifts them to the heights of heaven. That's what Torah means. That's the purpose of a mitzvah. There's so many mitzvahs around acts of human food consumption. One of them is, as you all know, Achilas Matzah, Pesach. Can one imagine the heights to which the Jew reaches when he is aware of what this mitzvah of the consumption of a Kesayis Matzah signifies? It carries within itself the basic fact of Emune, that Hashem Yisborach took us forth from Egyptian bondage and thereby declared himself to be master of humankind, who has chosen Klal Yisroel as his chosen people. And it lies in such a simple human, mundane act of consuming a mere kezias of matzah. And so it is with all the mitzvahs which have to be performed through human acts. And then there are the other mitzvahs which are concerned with the use of intellect. Emuneh, Yiras Shamayim, to revere Hashem Yisborach. But in order to reveal, we have to understand who is it. Not an easy thing. Calls for a great deal of learning, for a great deal of understanding. Who is it? How can I revere one whom I do not know? So I have to know him. A very difficult matter to know Hashem Yisborach. Study Torah. For Hashem, such a wonderful night table, a community table engaged in the study of Torah. A nachas ruach to come in and see these various groups. But are we aware of what we're engaged in? We're talking to God. It's a dialogue with him, Yisborach. That's Torah study. We're not listening to a shiur of a human being. He's merely the vehicle to bring to us barakim. Akasha is a discussion with Hashem Yisborah, Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't quite understand. It seems to me that the other Gemara says differently. What's the answer to this? And then you delve into it, and you zeichet to an answer. That means that Hashem Yisborah has given you the answer. And keen, you delved into it. You saw that it wasn't so simple. I'll speak to you a bit further, and you'll begin to understand and see. And after we have all the understanding that we possibly can have in this world of ours, it is yet not what we have to understand. It's preparatory to Olam Habo, where it will be given to us without measure, all you want, when, if you engaged in it here, if you wanted it here, and you remain unsatisfied, I don't have all that I'd like to have, I want to understand more, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who always wanted more and more, and Hashem Yisborach told him, as long as you're down here, you can't have any more. You've reached the limit. When you get up there, then you'll have more. There's a beautiful muscle in reference to the study of Torah, about which we have just spoken. A muscle given by one of the greats of the past generations, Praga Rov, the Nedi Bihuda Tzachayim Levrok. He says there was once a ship aboard sea, and on that ship there were quite a number of Jews. The ship was shipwrecked. They found themselves on an island all alone, this Jewish group. One of them was a Talmid Chacham. He saw that among the people on the ship there was one young child who had a brilliant brain. He took him to himself. I'll teach him to you. But he had no sforim. Nothing. So he taught him Aleph Beis without a sefer, without a book. He went through the Aleph Beis until he knew it clearly, back and forth. And then taught him to the Kudus. Showed him, he wrote down for him, this is Ah, this is all. And when you put the Ah under the Aleph, it's Ah. You put the comments under the base, it's both. Well, he was a brilliant brain, didn't take him too long to understand this great Torah of Bobabe. And he said, repeat it. Over and over again. Child got tired. What purpose is there to this? What am I going to do with this, with Bobinan? What's all this going to amount to? Just take it easy. He will yet come to shore. And when we do, when we'll be saved, you will then see what this means. They were saved. They came into a city, and this Talmid Chacham took the youngster into a library. He took down a sefer from one of the shelves, opens the sefer, and says, do you see this? Can you read? Can you understand it? He said, no, I can't. It's not Bobabe. So he began to read for him the words, and it is Bobabe. And you put the Bobabe together, and it turns into a word. Then one word connects with the other, and it all has a meaning. It didn't take him long, the child, to understand it. It was Moshin. Terrific! He said, but that's only because you kept repeating Bo, ba, be, o, a, e, over and over and over again. Now you see its value. Had you not studied the Aleph and the O, it would be impossible for us to go into this now. We'd have to start with the Aleph from the very beginning. You see now the value of it. And then he says to the native Yehuda that all that we study in this world, in comparison to the depths of Torah that we will reach to in Olam Habo, is like the bo babe of that young child. But if we won't do it here, no sforim will be taken down from the shelves there. For those of us who go through this bo babe with all the power that we possess, and we arrive at a conclusion, but I want more, it doesn't end with this, then it will end where? The Olam Habo. But for one who says, well, that's it, so push it, push it, so you'll never understand what's going on there. This is Torah study. This is Kailah. For those who study it that way, it's Torah study. And it gives them an approach to the observance of mitzvahs, because mitzvahs have to be observed in the same manner. It isn't tergum. It isn't mitzvahs anoshim l'modo. It means understanding that there is a will of God. And when I perform a mitzvah, asher kidishonu b'mitzvah yiso, He has sanctified us with His mitzvahs, vitzivonu, and He has commanded us so to do. It's a totally different act. It's not a matter of human concern. It's a tzivui, a commandment of Hashem Yisborach. And again, I'm dealing with Him. Just as in Torah study, it's a dialogue with Him. So in performing a mitzvah, I'm dealing with Hashem Yisborach. If I put my ear to it, I hear Him say, do this. And I say, I'm ready, Hashem Yisborach. I'm going to do it. And prior to doing so, I want to show my appreciation to you for reciting a broche, to you who has given us and blessed us and sanctified us with these mitzvahs. When one lives that way during the year, tries to approach this performance of mitzvah, then in Elul, then in Yomim Noroim, his entire lifestyle begins to live up before him, and he's able to engross himself completely in the meaning of the Yomim HaNoroim. We say in the Slichus, and again, I don't know whether we ever stop to think about it. Today in the Slichus also, Bino Hagigain. Please, Hashem Yisborach, understand the expression of our thought in our words. Speaking, uttering words is an expression of inner thought. That's the purpose of speech. But man feels, a Torah man feels, that his innermost thoughts don't lend themselves to the expression of human speech. I haven't said what my heart feels. So he says to Hashem, Bino Hagigain. Understand, my Father in heaven, what I'm trying to express. When we live by rote, we never give thought to this. But when we live by thought, then we always think along these lines, that the thoughts of the human soul are so far beyond the ability of human expression that only Hashem Yisborach Himself can fathom what we are trying to say. And I mentioned last night in the yeshiva something that I was privileged to hear many years ago from that great Jew, the late Ponovizhorov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Torah teaches us that when Pharaoh Paro died, Vayeonchu Bnei Yisrael Min Ho'avido, Klal Yisrael gave forth in a sigh from the yoke of servitude upon them. V'tatrechtzkitom, oi! Schwerkeiten die Arbeit. Batao Shavosom El Holiki. And their prayer with which they beseeched Hashem Shavosom went up unto him. It's an interesting question. Where did they beseech Hashem? They sighed from work. Meanwhile, they do from the pressure of servitude. They didn't pray to Hashem, but Hashem has a deep understanding of what goes on in the depths and in the recesses of the human soul. He saw and heard in that sigh, in that anochi, in that krechts, Hashem Yisborach heard Klal Yisroel in essence would like to come to me, but they are lost. Se'ur shebi'iso mi'aki, the sourdough stands in their way. The sourdough of human lusts and temptations, the sourdough of yetzer hara stands in their way and doesn't permit them to fulfill what is in essence their desire as Jewish children of Hashem Yisborach. And when a Jew sighs, Erklechts fun arde, Hashem Yisborach understands what that language means. And it goes up to him, and he brings forth a Yetzias Mitzrayim. These are things that we have to be conscious of. From one side, how far removed we are. How far we are engaged in that which is not Torah living, even when we live as Torah Jews. And on the other side, Rachmei Hashem. His Rachmei, His Chesed, His kindness and His mercy, in looking and observing the essence of the Jewish Torah soul. And he sees there that they, my people, yearn for me, but the sourdough overcomes them. And he says to them, Dirshuhu b'yoyse koroiv, seek me out when I am close unto you. Elu asora yomim shemin reish hashonah leyemet ipuri. Those are the 10 days when Hashem Yisborach acts in such manner as to bring himself closer to the Jew, so that it will become somewhat easier for us to feel that we stand in His presence. Let us remember both sides of the problem. Let us realize what our duty is. Let us realize where we have been remiss during an entire year, even so close to Rosh Hashanah. Then let us feel the greatness of Hashem Yisborach, who regardless of our shortcomings, brings himself ever closer to Klal Yisroel and waits merely, Birshu, ask for me, request that you want to have me. And I'm always there to answer that prayer. Fatal Shavosom Elo Alekim. May Hashem Yizborach grant us all Eksivo Vachasino Toivo in a year Nachas Broche, good health, and as always we pray again for Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, problems galore in Arzenu Hakdosho, and over again it's brought to mind, don't make the mistake of thinking that you humans can solve problems. You have to have me, says Hashem Yisbarach. All your solutions lead to a matzav ha-kalkala, to a financial situation in Eretz Yisrael, which is worse than bankruptcy. Because we're great, we can do things. Yes, you can lead yourself into bankruptcy. And you can live on chesed liyumin. You think you don't need Ezras Hashem, and you live on the mercy of nations. Forget all this business. Remember that we are bnei keil choy. We are the children of a living God. And He has told us that come what may, but Mashiach will also come. Let us therefore hope that this year, and what is to stop him from coming earlier, that we should live to see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'nehedah v'yameinu, amen.